To everyone, especially our visitors, thank you for being here today. I appreciate that. Thank you for worshiping with us, joining us in worship. I've been preaching a series of sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, for Jesus, it's just one sermon. I can't make it one sermon. I got to break it down a little bit. And we've talked so far about the Beatitudes. The sermon is about the kingdom of heaven. That's what it's about. And the kingdom of heaven is the reign of heaven. It's the rule of heaven. And to be in the kingdom of heaven, you have to let the kingdom of heaven in. God has to rule in your heart in order for you to be part of His kingdom. And the Beatitudes express the kind of thinking, the kind of attitude, the kind of inner processes and valuations that take place when God's ruling in your heart. And we talked also about the fact that when we think about our role in the kingdom of heaven, that role is to be light, to be an influence. And the point of that light, the point of having God's influence on us and acting accordingly, the point of it is to give glory to God. That's the point of it. It's not for our glory, it's for God's glory. And if we don't satisfy that purpose, then what's the point of us? We're like a lamp under a bushel. We're not really doing what we are here to do in the kingdom of God. And then we talked about law keeping and Jesus' point that He didn't come to abrogate or do away with law, but to fulfill law. What is the point of law? The point of law is just not mindless rule keeping or ritual. The point of law is to reflect the character of God. And if you keep just the letter of the law, then you haven't really accomplished the point of it. And so you have to go beyond just technical rule-keeping and you're thinking about law. Law is about reflecting these qualities of God, His love and His mercy and caring about people and doing good for its own sake, not because it's the law, because it's a rule, but because that's who you are. It's defining you as a person in the kingdom of heaven because the kingdom of heaven is ruling in you. And if you have those qualities, then it changes all of your behavior and the way that you treat people and so forth. And so that's all of chapter 5. And so now this morning we're going to get into chapter 6. And we're going to do all of chapter 6. And so it's going to be a bit of a rush. So pay attention. Chapter 6. So very often when we teach Scripture and we teach things like the Sermon on the Mount, we just break them down into little itsy-bitsy pieces and we talk them to death, you know. And that's not a criticism. That's a self-analysis. You know, I think there's value to that. I think there's value in taking each a little bit and really just trying to get everything there can be gotten out of that. But let's take a larger approach this morning. Think about what all the things in Matthew chapter 6 have in common. And what I want to suggest to you this morning is that what they all have in common, all the things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, it's about valuation. It's about treasure. It's about what you value or what you don't value. Or what value is the most valuable. Think about this with me for a few moments this morning. About the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. What are the treasures of the kingdom of heaven? You know, if you'd ask your typical Jew who Jesus came to talk to, what do you imagine are the treasures of the kingdom of heaven? I'm sure they would have had a lot of ideas about all of the great, valuable, and wonderful, and terrific things the kingdom of heaven would bring to them. And yet Jesus, in this chapter, He talks about the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. And they're not at all what I'm sure those people were imagining they would be. The treasures of heaven are such things as the approval of God. Do you see the approval of God as being something valuable? Is it a treasure for you?
Amen.
It should be. Think about what Jesus goes on to say here in the first section, Matthew 6. Be careful not to perform your righteous acts before men to be seen. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now clearly, this is about motivation. Why we do the things that we do in the kingdom of heaven, in the service of God. Why do we do them? Why do we do good? Why do we worship? Why are you here today? Why do you pray? Why do you refrain from evil? Or at least the things that God tells you are evil. Or why do you do the good that God asks you to do? What's your motivation? What do you value? Well, here Jesus contrasts two things that have value. One is the approval of men and the other is the approval of God. And we do value the approval of men. We do. Because it's our nature to do so. We want the approval of our families, our friends, certainly the people that we admire and respect and love, but even total strangers. You know, we are embarrassed when we think someone who we don't even know doesn't approve of us. It matters so much to us what other people think. That's a valuation that we make. And for some people, it's the most valuable thing. Fame, accolades, respect. To be seen by others to be successful or rich or powerful in the terms that everybody grades those things on. People want that. And even in the realm of religion, people act not because it pleases God, but because it pleases family or friends or neighbors or whomever. So Jesus is saying, if you think that being in the kingdom of heaven is doing things so that other people can look at you and say, well, that's a righteous person, and that's why you do them, you don't understand. Be careful not to perform your righteous acts before men to be seen. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so he gives some examples. Verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be praised by men. Truly, I tell you, they already have the reward. That was what they valued. That's what they want. That's what they're after. They got it. They got exactly what they wanted. But it isn't really worth it. You know, it's interesting. You can almost say that Jesus contradicts himself here, or you can think that he does, because earlier he says, do your good deeds before men so that they can glorify God. And then he says, don't do your good deeds before men, because if they do, they'll glorify you, and then you already have your reward. Well, they're not contradictory. It's about motivation. It's about why you're doing them. And certainly there are some things that you can do to try to mitigate or make sure that you have the right motivation, you know. He says when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And so motivation is something that you first control in your own thoughts, but then you also put some things in place to try to make sure that your thoughts are pure. And so you try to not make a big deal out of your giving, and you try to do things that nobody knows about. But on the other hand, you can't always do that. There are times when you have to join in a program or an effort that is helpful to other people, and it has to be seen as such because it gives glory to God. And so you can't be too scrupulous about that. You just have to guard your heart, guard your motivations, and do the good that you can, sometimes in secret, sometimes it's known, but you just do them all for the glory of God, because that's what you value. That's what you value. That's the thing that's worth it. Verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they already have their full reward. They have their full reward because that's the only reason they did it. That's the reason they did it. And they got the reason they did it. They got it. But it's not what a true citizen of the kingdom of heaven values. We've prayed here together. It's perfectly acceptable. It's required by God that we pray publicly, pray together. But if that's the only time you pray, if you only pray in public, what does that tell you about your motivation for prayer? 6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What's your motivation? Your motivation has to be God's approval, because that's what you value. That's your treasure. That's what you're after. I'm going to skip down because it's a little out of order, but Jesus includes another thought that goes along exactly with what he's been saying in the first 6 verses. And he says in verse 16, when you fast, do not be somber like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they already have their full reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be obvious to men, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. A lot of times we couch these contrasts between the approval of men, the approval of God, the reward of men, the reward of God, as kind of a now or later kind of a thing, which they are to a certain degree. And to use that illustration you've probably heard before, you want to see the potential future success of a child, you do the cookie secret, this cookie test. You know the cookie test where you say, okay, young person, here's one cookie that you can have now, but if you wait 10 minutes, you can have 2 cookies. And the ones that will wait for the 2 cookies are the ones who will be successful in life. The ones who gobble up the cookie before you have given all the instructions, that's the ones who probably are not going to be successful in life. Me personally, I probably would have eaten all the cookies and found where the cookies were stored and eaten those cookies too. I probably would have done that. So, now or later. Reward now or reward later. And so as Jesus is saying, you need to be smart about this. You need to not do this for a reward now. Do it for a reward later, because the reward later is a better reward. You have more cookies. Not exactly. I don't think that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Can you not have God's approval now? Of course you can. Is that not valuable now? It is. To know that what you're doing is something that pleases God, and to know that you're doing it for no other reason except that it pleases God, and to cherish that, to value that, to know that you have His approval. That is the thing, my friend. The reign of heaven in our heart affects our motivations. Changes the way we look at things. We think about things. Value things. What do we value? What do we treasure? What is our treasure? And when you stop and you think about your behavior and things that you do, and you say, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't matter that maybe other people don't approve, or they do approve, or whether they know or they don't know, it doesn't matter. This is the thing that I'm going to do, not for any other reason except because I know God wants me to. And maybe other people will actually disapprove. Or maybe it will be uncomfortable for me or difficult for me, but that doesn't matter. To do good because it's in me, because God's put it in me, because God's reigning in me. See, that is treasure. That is reward. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have our reward in full now either. No, it's not in full now, but it is partial. And it is valuable to know that God approves of you. You can imagine heaven any way that you want to. Maybe it's a dozen cookies or a million cookies or an endless stream of cookies, but I think it goes beyond cookies, don't you? Heaven is not better because it's better stuff or more long-lasting stuff. We have heaven now in our hearts when we have this relationship with God where we're doing things that we know He wants us to do, and we know He approves of that, and we feel that, we understand that God approves of us, and it gives us a sense of warmth, of satisfaction, of happiness. What do you think heaven is? That is where that's the more cookies. It's more of that. It's a million times that. That's what heaven is. So, what else is the treasure of God? Well, it's the provision of God is the treasure of heaven. The provision of God. And Jesus goes on to talk about this in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 6. When you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think that by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And it is about what we need. Provision. We need provision. We need to be provided for. And here the pagan is thinking, well, if I just keep saying this over and over and over and over again, eventually I'll exceed the point limit. I'll get the prize. I'll get enough tickets. I'll do enough good. I'll pray enough. I'll count enough beads. And it'll put me over the top. And Jesus is saying, don't think like that. It's not like that. God already knows what you want. He's already ready and willing to give you what you want. If assuming what you want is something that stems from the fact that the kingdom of heaven is reigning in you. See? Because like the passage we looked at this morning, what God wants to give you is this eternal relationship with Him. Because He knows that is what you really need and what will make you happy. And what will give you eternal peace and contentment. That's what God wants for you. And a person who has that thinking in their heart, in their mind, has that valuation system in their heart, in their mind, they want it too. And they trust God to give it to them. Provision. God's provision. Verses 9 and 11. So then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is part of this business of piecemealing things. We talk about all of these things that are God's concerns, but then we get down to this thing that is our concern. And so, the idea is that when you pray to God, you should start with God's concerns. You should start with honoring God and praising God and acknowledging God. And you should talk about God's wants and needs and His will and wanting that will to be exercised in your life and the world, because that all matters. That's more important. But then we get down to this business about bread. I want bread. I need that. That's my part. That's what I need out of this arrangement. I need some bread. And so you scratch, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, that kind of thing. This is what you want, God, this is what I want. So, we make a contract here, an arrangement, some kind of transaction. I'll care about the things you care about so that you'll care about the things I care about. Well, it's none of that, obviously. That is not what Jesus is saying. You see, if you really mean all of these things, if you really mean them, then this is part of that. Think about that. Give us this day our daily bread. Is that different from your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Are those two different things? No. You see, for the person who truly values and treasures and understands and appreciates and possesses the concept that God is providing for you. And He does. He provides for me in every way. Then the concept of your will be done is not different from give me this day my daily bread. It's the same thing. Does God not want me to make it? Of course He does. In fact, He wants me to make it more than I want to make it. It's hard to understand sometimes. But of course, He understands so much more what it means to make it than I do. You know, so many people, they just want to make it through the next day. They just want to make it through the next meal. That's their idea of making it. But God knows that's not making it at all. Because there's no point in having enough bread to get you through the day if you die tomorrow and lose your eternal soul. That's pointless. The person who has the kingdom of heaven reigning in their heart is a person who says, you know, it's all in your hands, God. And I trust you, and you will make provision for me. And whatever I need today, or I don't need, or what I need to suffer through, or what I don't need to suffer through, or what I need to go without, or what I need to go with, or whatever it is, I trust your provision, God. Absolutely trust your provision, and I treasure that provision in my heart. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of heaven. Give us this day. Reign heaven in our heart. Affects our expectations. What do I expect? What do I want? What do I need? What do I really need? What do I really want? Is it the petty little things that people in the world all care about and that's all they care about? Is that what I want? Is that what I need? Is that what I think God wants me to want? That God thinks that I need? The truth of the matter is I don't really know what I need sometimes. Not in terms of my long-term security or interests. I don't know. Maybe it would be better if I didn't get that bread today. I don't know. See, whatever God provides fulfills our desires. If we understand. If heaven is reigning in our hearts, I trust you, God. And I value that. I lean upon it. I enjoy it. Treasure it. Forgiveness, of course, is another treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Forgiveness is a valuable thing, isn't it? Jesus says in Matthew 6:12, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Forgive us our debts. Is that worth anything to you? And then he says this in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." Now, there's a lot of people in the world for whom they say, "No problem. I don't care." These slights and injuries and insults and wrongs that have done me, I don't forgive them of that. I'm not going to forgive them of that because I want to hold on to that grudge. I treasure that grudge. It stimulates me and it gives me purpose to not like those people and to hold that against them, and that's my treasure. Really? Yeah. Yeah, really. For a lot of people. Man, they hold on to a grudge like it's the most precious thing they have in all the world. Won't let it go. Oh, they protect it. But God won't forgive you. Well, I don't care. Really? Forgive our debts. Does that mean anything to you? You see, the reign of heaven in our heart makes us merciful. Why does it make us merciful? Well, because God is merciful, and if God's affecting you, controlling you, and dictating your thoughts and your behavior through your willful subservience to His will, you know, your will be done. I want to go to heaven because your will is done in heaven. Well, just makes sense that I want your will to be done here on earth too. And your will is to be merciful because you're merciful, and I want to be where you are because you're great. And if you're great and I want to be where you are because you're great, then I want to be like that too. Be merciful, for your Heavenly Father is merciful. And that's a treasure. It's precious. God's mercy is our greatest ambition, really. But if God's mercy is our greatest ambition for ourselves, then doesn't that have value? Isn't that a beautiful thing, a good thing, a wonderful thing? If the concept that God would forgive me is something that matters to me, then it's a concept that matters to me, to practice, right? We don't want to treasure or hold grudges because those things have no value to me. I don't want them to be something God holds against me because that's not good. I don't want to hold it either. You see how those things go together? What do you value? What you treasure? Mercy, love, compassion. They're valuable. I want them. How about the reward of God? Man, time flies. Did you know that? You may not have the same sense of it that I do. The reward of God. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So it's about what's worth more, right? What's more valuable? And of course, material things, heavenly things, spiritual versus earthly things. What do you value? What's more important to you? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's the thing we've been talking about the whole sermon, right? What do you value? What's important to you? Things, stuff, or God in heaven. See, it's a valuation you have to make now, you know, because the kingdom of heaven is not just later, it's now. In you, you live in a material world, but yet the presence of the reign of heaven is already here in this world, in you and me. And so already we're having to make these choices and valuations between the kingdom of heaven and earthly things. And so Jesus is trying to help us to make that valuation because we need to make it right now. In our heart right now, we need to make that valuation. And then he says this, and again, you might think, well, this is a different... He moves on to a different subject, but not really. Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your vision is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Well, what is he talking about seeing and not seeing? It's valuation. It's seeing what's worth something and what's not worth something. If your vision is poor, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Does heaven and the light of heaven define the way that you see things? Does God's valuation, God's opinion, God's way of looking at things, is that the way you look at them or is it not? Because if it's not, you are full of darkness. You don't see. You see, to value a treasure, you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see it. Somebody puts a blindfold on you and leads you into a room and say, evaluate this art. tell me how much you think this is worth. What are you talking about? I can't see it. Well, take the blindfold off, my friend. Take it off. In order to see the value of the kingdom of heaven, you gotta open your eyes. And a lot of people just can't bring themselves to do that. They are so blinded by the things of this world that their eye is bad and it's full of darkness and they can't let the light in and they don't see and they don't value. We cannot let that happen to us. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You see, service begins with love and despising. See? When you love a master, you serve the master. And when you don't serve the master, it's because you don't love the master. It is valuation, my friends. Valuation. That's this passage is talking about. Whose love, whose respect, whose opinion, whose valuation matters to you? That's what it's all about. Where your treasure is. The reign of heaven in our heart changes our valuations. The things that matter to God are the things that we hold dear. And the more this is true, the easier it is to be righteous. Because you see the value. The value of God's love, the value of God's service, the value of doing good. And it's not just about, you know, scoring points. It's what you really want. It's what you love. The assurance of God, which really, you come back really to approval. What's the difference between approval of God and assurance of God? Not much. But here's the idea, is that when you know you have God's approval, then you feel pretty good about things. That's the assurance part of it. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Well, is it or isn't it for you? You know? It's about what you value and what you see and what you have. Look at the air. They don't sow or reap or gather in the barns. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable? Then there's that value thing. You're more valuable. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 31. For the pagans strive after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I've often thought about that. You know, what does that really mean? Does it mean if you make sure you take care of God's stuff, God will make sure He'll take care of your stuff? Is that what that's talking about? You know, you'll have enough food, you'll have enough clothes, it'll be all right, as long as you just do the right thing. I'm not so sure that's exactly what Jesus means. Surely God is going to take care of us, and yes, God will provide for us. But again, it's about attitude. It's about what you care about, and it's about what you worry about or don't worry about. It's about assurance. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven, you stop worrying about those things. And if you're not worrying about them anymore, it's not really a problem, is it? Because you have contentment and peace. You already have a taste of the reward. It's already here. It'll be better later on. But it's already good now. Holding on to heaven's treasure. Treasure God's approval. Trust His provision. Bask in His forgiveness. Be thrilled over heaven's reward. And know the contentment of the reign of heaven in your heart. Do you have the treasure of the kingdom of heaven today? You can. You can have it right now. I'm not saying it ain't going to be better later, because it will be. But you can have. You can have it right now. You can have this. This is the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. God's approval is the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. God's provision and God's forgiveness. You can have it now. But do you value it? Can you see it? How's your eye? Can you see the treasure? If you can, then seek and ask and knock. It'll be open to you. will be given to you. Obey the gospel today. Give your heart to the Lord. Let the kingdom of heaven, the reign of heaven, into your heart by obeying the gospel. Just say, Lord, I want what you're offering. I want the treasure. I want your forgiveness. I want your approval. I want that contentment and peace of mind. Declare your faith in Jesus Christ and turn away from sin and the darkness of this world and be baptized. Just let the waters of baptism flow over you, and in your heart make an appeal for a good conscience before God, and start to receive the treasure. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing this morning.